Hello, it's lovely to be with you again, and it's a privilege having been given the opportunity to speak on our annual Giving Sunday, a time when the church family are asked to prayerfully review their commitments for what they can give to the church in the three different ways that we can give. And Jenny describes it as using three P's: people, which is our time and our gifts, pounds, and prayer. And it's very fitting that this falls in the season of Lent, which is the time when we are in prayer before the Lord and asking him to take us deeper and asking him to search and examine our hearts and set us on course for living for him. So we aren't asking you to rush into anything this morning, but really take some time before the Lord in prayer. Have a conversation with him about your commitments the past year and what he's inviting you to offer in the coming year. My talk's going to be in two parts. So we're going to begin by looking at our Bible passages and then explore how we can give to the Lord out of what he has given us this coming year. Well, I don't know about you, but my heart just sank when I discovered that we were doing a Giving Sunday in lockdown. It just seemed too much to me to be asking more of me when I am just about getting through after a year of cancelled holidays, cancelled parties, cancelled family gatherings, shopping trips, church celebrations. So much loss, and perhaps some of you feel the same. And if I'm honest, my jar of oil and bin of flour are feeling a bit empty. So I can really relate to the widow in our Old Testament reading today and her reaction when Elijah asks her for some bread. Elijah has declared a time of drought for Israel, and God has been miraculously providing for him bread and meat delivered by the ravens every morning and evening. It's like a scene out of Lord of the Rings. And he's had water from the brook to drink, but now it's dried up. So God sends him to a widow outside of Israel in a place called Zarephath, where the widow is going to feed him until the end of the drought. First he asks her for some water, which she is willing to fetch for him. But then he asks for some bread, and she says, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Well, that's a bit how I felt when I received my Giving Sunday forms. More? You want more? I'm not sure I've got enough for me to get me to the end of this lockdown, let alone anyone else. But this is the story that came to mind. And we see that as the woman obeyed the Lord, she and her son are miraculously provided for through the rest of the drought, and their lives are saved. Well, I'd just like to highlight a few things we can learn from this story, and also the feeding of the 5,000 passage that Malcolm read for us today. So the first point is that God invites us to partner with him. Why didn't God just carry on providing for Elijah at the brook? If he'd arranged delivery of bread and meat by the ravens, I'm sure he could have refilled the brook with water. But instead, God invites a widow, a lowly member of society outside of God's chosen people, Israel, to have this adventure of faith feeding God's prophet, Elijah. And it's the same with us. We're all invited to partner with God. No one is too far on the fringe, too insignificant to be noticed and invited by God, to be co-workers with him and share in the adventure of the life of faith together. In fact, Jesus, in one of the parables, compares the invitation to the kingdom of heaven to being like an invitation to a wedding banquet. And to begin with, the more respectable members of society are invited, but many refuse the invitation, saying they're too busy. They've got more important things to do. And in the end, it's the outcasts and the homeless who are invited in and who accept God's invitation. Why would you want to miss out on a wedding banquet? And our New Testament story is a young boy that offers his food to Jesus to share with the crowd. Again, Jesus could have turned some stones into bread. He could have organised a miraculous catch of fish, as he does on another occasion, to feed the crowds. But instead, he partners with the boy to be a part of something supernatural and feed the huge hungry crowd. It's interesting, isn't it, that only the boy is found with food. I find it hard to believe that in that huge crowd, They were no responsible parents who had packed some food away for their families. But perhaps his childlike faith gave him the courage to share what he had with Jesus. And so he gets to experience being part of this wonderful miracle. And God invites us to partner with him. Secondly, I believe God will guide us. In the Old Testament passage, God tells Elijah he has already commanded the widow in Zarephath to feed him. So even though she reacts as she does to Elijah when he asks for the food, actually God had already prepared her for this encounter, and Elijah just confirmed what was already in her heart to do. Perhaps she'd been crying out to God for help as her and her son were facing starvation, and this was God's way of answering her prayer. She's invited to partner with God to be a part of the answer to her own prayers. So let's ask the Lord to guide us and prompt us and lead us into the roles that he has for us to serve in and how much money he would like us to give. And thirdly, God provides our daily bread. So please hear me, I am not preaching a prosperity message this morning, even though we've had two stories of miraculous provision from our Old and our New Testament passages. But the story of the widow, she has enough bread just to feed her and her son and Elijah each day. The flour and the oil don't run out. And that reminds me of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. God provided enough for each day, but not enough for her to go and set up a big bakery business in the town and make loads of money from her bread. As she partners with God, he provides her daily needs. And the young boy with the loaves and fishes doesn't set up a chain of bread and fish takeaways throughout the region. The crowd's needs are met that day when they are in need of a meal. And we're not trying to make St. Paul's a big name in town and have nicer biscuits and better coffee and the comfiest chairs. But we do want to be able to help people with their daily basic needs and share the light and love of Jesus with our town, as it says in our St. Paul's mission statement. And God's inviting us to partner with him in doing so and sharing the joy of being a blessing to others, especially those who don't know God's love yet. And won't it be great when we come back together again if there are lots of people here that we don't recognise that have been reached with God's love even during lockdown and have chosen to come and try us out in person. So before I come on to how we can get involved, you may be wondering why we are even talking about this while so many of the groups and activities we're inviting you to serve on aren't actually happening at the moment or have moved online. Well, a lot has happened in a year, and it may be that your circumstances have changed. Perhaps your children have started school or left home, and you've got a bit more free time on your hands if you're not homeschooling. Or you've had a baby or started a new job and you have less time to give. Well, on the form that we've sent you with Jenny's letter, you'll see that there's lots of options for these different categories where you can either put a tick or a cross. So a tick where you'd like to sign up or carry on being involved with something, or a cross where you need to step down from something. And it would really help us to know, as we plan to reopen our in-person services and events, what size of teams of people we have available and where your passions lie and what you'd love to be involved with, because that will help us plan. And some of the roles do require a basic DBS check for safeguarding purposes, and they take a bit of time to do. So if you sign up now, that gives us time to get those checks done so that we can safely reopen with enough volunteers for the events that we just can't wait to offer again to our communities and our church family. So as I said at the beginning, a simple way to remember how we can give is our three P's: people, pounds and prayer. Our first P is for people. It's your time and your talents. I know some of the serving teams have been able to have a bit of a break, probably a much needed break, but many people have carried on serving behind the scenes to sustain the life and witness of our worshipping community. And we've even been able to reach a wider audience through the live streaming of services. So a massive thank you to those who have served, especially in those unseen roles, like the AV team, the flower arrangers who made our church look so beautiful at Christmas time, the grounds team. I could go on, an army of people who are delivering the home packs each month, and that's such a lifeline for those who can't access our online services, and there's so many other ways I haven't mentioned. We've all got different skills and gifts, and there's a variety of ways to give your time that you'll see on the form. Whether it's an hour a week or a month, whether you're good with computers or you can make a really good cup of tea, okay, do have a look and pray about which ones are for you. And then our second P, our second way of giving, is pounds. And again, a huge thank you for your generosity this past year in spite of the pandemic. And that's meant we've been able to do so much, upgrading the AV system and being able to keep our staff employed. And that's all in spite of the drop in our income from the hall bookings. So a big thank you. Now, obviously, some of you may have had financial losses or job losses and drops in income because of what we've been going through. And, you know, if you're no longer in a position to be able to keep giving, I would urge you to stop if you haven't already done so, or reduce your giving accordingly. And if you are in hardship and need help, please do get in touch with us and we would love to share what we have with you. It's been an absolute joy to be able to help individuals and families out throughout this year when people have been in crisis, whether it's been with the emergency provision of a washing machine or some furniture or just food bank vouchers so people can have food on their tables to get them through to the end of the week. So do get in touch with us. And if you do have money troubles that keep you awake at night or debts that you're struggling to repay, please do get in touch with Christians Against Poverty, CAP. And they offer effective specialised help in this area. But if that isn't you, and you do have enough to live on and to care, provide for the needs of your family, then do prayerfully consider how to steward what the Lord has given you and what to give back to him as part of your worship, as part of sharing in this adventure of seeing God's kingdom here in Letchworth, his light and love becoming known in our town. And the final most important way, of course, that we can give is our third P, prayer. We can all get involved with this one. So I've been so blessed this year personally because there's a wonderful group of people that pray specifically for the children and youth work at St Paul's. And it's been lovely to know that they're praying and being able to share our prayer requests with them each term as I've helped with the youth work this year. And perhaps that's something you've got a heart for and you could join that team. Or you could think about committing to join one of the monthly church prayer meetings or the prayer and fasting service, or join a home group to be praying with others, or just praying regularly at home for the work here. God sees what happens in the secret place of prayer and he will reward you. So let's finish with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your unfailing love and faithfulness in providing for us, your children. Would we give back to you in gratitude for all that you have given to us? Thank you for your invitation to partner with you in making the light and love of Jesus known. Would our response be an unreserved yes to the promptings of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rachel. The form that Rachel held up, as I said, has gone out on email to many of us already. Do give us a shout if you haven't seen that. If you still have those forms in your inbox, do take some time to prayerfully read through them and get them back to us in the next couple of weeks. We would absolutely love to hear from you. Let's stand together now and affirm our faith in God using the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We come to our prayers of intercession now, and we're being led this morning by lovely Gail Adcock. Gail has been on placement with us at St. Paul's the last month. She is from St. Mark's in Hitchin, so it may be a new voice to some of you, but we're grateful to her for leading us in our prayer this morning. So over to you, Gail.
God of wonders, God of hope, God of love, God of peace, as we enter your presence in these moments, draw near to us. Make yourself known to us by your Spirit. Lift our hearts and minds to tune in to you. Dwell amongst us as we pray. Lord God, on Giving Sunday, we reflect on all that you have so generously given us, that you have withheld nothing from us, but been kind and big-hearted in providing in so many ways, cultivating us a generous spirit and an attitude to share what we have with others. May we not hold on to anything so tightly we're not willing to give it away. Guide us today as we consider what we have to offer and what we can give, however insignificant that may seem to us. For all our resources, whether financial or practical, our gifts, skills and time are offered up in service of you and your kingdom. Let us not hold anything back. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we see people and places across our globe struggling for so many reasons at this time. People against people, abuses of power, regimes exerting military force. Give world leaders wisdom to make informed decisions. May they chase after justice, Lord, and not oppression. Would those who are facing unlawful detention be set free? We think particularly of the situations in Myanmar, protests in India, and the Uyghur community in China. Move global leaders to respect human rights, cooperate as nations, working together for the good of all, generating peace and dignity for those who are defeated, censored, and yet continue to fight for justice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all those in our community who are bereaved and grieving, surround them with your loving arms. May they know your great comfort and reassurance. Help them to experience your presence and to know that in the midst of grief, you sit with them. In a moment of quiet now, we draw to mind those dear to us who have passed away and remember those feeling this sense of loss greatly at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, as we travel through this journey of Lent, guide our steps. Remind us of the extraordinary road that Jesus walked, of the suffering that he knew, of the ill treatment he received, and the times he felt abandoned. As he walked through those difficult events, knowing that each step brought him closer to death, would you renew in us a sense of awe at Jesus' obedience and willingness to do all that was asked of him?